This is Scott Berguin of KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We're moving again to talk to folks who are involved in the troops home fast, and we are privileged to have on the line Ann Wright, who's a retired colonel and also resigned as a diplomat March 19th, 2003 in protest of the invasion of Iraq. Hello, Ann. How are you doing?
Hi, Scott.
And Ann, you've got, I think, obviously a lot to tell. Apparently you just 5 or so minutes ago just got out of jail. Could you tell us about that?
Well, that's right. I've gone to jail for justice again, like a lot of other people are doing right now. I just was arrested this afternoon in the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, for the confirmation of the fellow named Haynes, who the Bush administration is nominating to be on the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. And he previously was the general counsel, the chief civilian lawyer for the Department of Defense, and was one of the authors of the torture memos and an architect of Guantanamo. So I stood up I was dressed in a Guantanamo orange outfit and stood in the room, and at a certain point I came forward identifying myself as a U.S. Army colonel, saying that this man was unfit to be a judge on the Court of Appeals for all of the illegal things he had done in his post with Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm. So, describe the reaction, if you can.
Well, it's pretty swift right now in the Senate committee hearings that Arlen Specter was gaveling for order within seconds, and apparently when the chairman of the committee hits the gavel, whoever's standing up saying anything is under arrest. I've been in other places where I've stood up and quickly said my mind and was escorted out of the room but not arrested.
Mm.
But this time I was escorted out and immediately arrested.
And so what are you charged with?
I think it's unlawful activities or something like that. It's a misdemeanor. And I'll go to court in September.
Well, I find myself wondering how you got into a hearing wearing an orange Guantanamo type suit.
Well, as we were ready to tell any of the guards there that the color orange is not prohibited,
mm-hmm.
and if it happens to be on a jumpsuit, if it happens to have the connotations of the most horrible things that have been going on, tough noogies. We're
mm-hmm.
wearing those things. In fact, four of us went into the hearing with those on. We had been just out on the streets in front of the Dirksen Senate office building in a demonstration outside where we had people in these orange garbs plus the black hood. And then we also had another person that was in a bodysuit that made it appear to be mostly unclothed and with a leash. So to underscore the importance of what the decision about the confirmation of Haynes means, if the Senate decides they want to have as a federal judge a person that's been so intimately connected with these criminal activities that have happened in the name of the United States, we want to put them on notice that we the people do not agree with them.
Well, he seems to be one in a growing line of, it seems like an award system that's going on inside the Bush administration, because, of course, we have the main one, Alberto Gonzalez, who was one of the main authors of the torture, or the one that was about Geneva Conventions, I think, that they're quaint or whatever. But they've all been involved in this, and they keep now getting...
Oh, they surely have. And, in fact, this morning there was another hearing that we went to, and... that you can see on C-SPAN, and that was also at the Judiciary Committee in the discussion of what will happen with these military tribunals, whether or not the Congress will step in and make some rules, legislate some rules on how military commissions are to be held. That was really, really interesting. One of the persons that was speaking was Lieutenant Commander Swift, the U.S. Navy officer who argued the case of Hamdi in front of the Supreme Court a couple of weeks ago, and then won the verdict that the president does not have the authority to unilaterally decide the rules of a military commission, mm-hmm. that it is the responsibility of the Congress. So he was there and several others. So it was really quite a powerful day. And mm-hmm. so many very important things for the future of our country, our reputation in the world, are being discussed right now in the Congress.
Well, it must be quite a... it's not your fall from grace, but your involvement with the U.S. government as a diplomat, and I'm going to assume, I mean, you've got some, you've been given medals for your work in Sierra Leone, spent time in missions in various countries. The last one, I believe, was Afghanistan. And then when you started your service, what the reputation of the U.S. was in the world and what it compared to what it is now. That's where I'm trying to go. The fall from grace, of course, is in the reputation of our own country.
Indeed. We are in the doghouse. We certainly are, and for good reasons. I mean, the rest of the world just looks at us, looks at the Bush administration, and then also the people of the United States that have not risen up to say, we will not put up with this anymore. And that's the reason we're in Washington and on this fast.
Mm-hmm.
8 days, it's the first time. Well, I've never been on a fast before, and therefore I've never been arrested on a fast. But it's all of these things are trying to, it's not just because we think this is, you know, clever or fun or anything like that. It's to try to heighten the awareness of the American people and try to get them off their behinds and to come out and make sure that we take back our country in this next congressional election,
mm-hmm.
that we vote for peace candidates, that we end this war in Iraq, that we bring our troops home, and that we don't let anybody that says, yeah, this is a good war, we got to continue it, just in this whole idea of we continue it because we've lost so many people, we can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that we've got to fight against that.
Right. Right. It's like if you're sending people over a cliff and they keep going, you can't stop because...
That's right, like living.
Yes. Right. Well, let's talk about the fast. I mean, that's a pretty powerful underlay to this whole thing. I mean, you're doing all these things, creative things to, as you said, try to get the American people off our collective behinds to actually put our democratic action where our opinions are. So how are you doing? 8 days, you've never fasted before. How are you holding up physically?
Well, remarkably well, all of us are. There are probably 12 of us that are still here in Washington. Many others have left to go home and are continuing the fast. And after 8 days, I am amazed at how much energy we have. Of course, it's not as much as if you were eating a lot of food, but it's amazing what your body continues to do. And
mm-hmm.
we all in America have so much extra weight on us that, Lord, I probably won't start getting hungry for another 3 weeks.
Oh.
You know? So we're doing well. We have to, of course, we're very careful about what we're doing, making
mm-hmm.
sure we get plenty of liquids and juices if you need sugar or things like that,
mm-hmm.
and some vitamins. Some people are sticking with water, but I'm not. I'm having some juices and some supplements.
Okay, well, you have kind of burst into the peace movement scene. I know you were the, if I'm correct, the person who kind of got in and organized the Camp Casey, the original Camp Casey down in Crawford, Texas. Kind of.
Well, I, along with many, many, many other people. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be there and to be able to use my government skills, my Army skills, and my diplomatic skills, and we ended up having a tremendous Camp Casey last
yes.
summer, and we'll have another one this summer.
And are you planning personally to go back to Camp Casey?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. August 16th through September 2nd.
Okay.
And even though we've heard that the president isn't going to be in Texas all the month of August like he normally is, 5 weeks or 6 weeks of just hanging out in Texas,
mm-hmm.
apparently we put a little pressure on him down there, and so he's not going to be there the whole time.
Right.
Just like at Easter,
mm-hmm.
the first time in 5 years, this last Easter, we had Camp Casey at Easter in Crawford,
mm-hmm.
and he did not show. He didn't come to Crawford. So it's nice when you can keep the president's, when you can affect president's schedule by your peace activities.
Right. Not that you're going to necessarily keep him off vacation. I guess he's the most vacationed president perhaps in history. I don't know how many years has he been in, almost 6 years now, and he's spent over a year on vacation. Well, I find myself wanting to ask you another question. If I understand this correctly, when you were a diplomat in Afghanistan, your boss was Colin Powell, right?
That's correct.
Your highest boss, obviously. And then, but that also, of course, makes George W. Bush your boss, I would assume. You've probably thought of this. Maybe you've even had a chance to do it. If you could tell the president, give him some advice right now. I mean, you know, aside from the fact that we know that he's not listening to us at this point or doesn't seem to be, what would you tell George Bush?
Well, I would tell him that this war needs to end. It needs to end now. We need to bring our troops home. As long as American troops are in Iraq, the violence will continue, either directed at us or we're directing violence toward others. The killing of Iraqis must stop. The killing of Americans. The only way to stop the killing of Americans is for us to get out of there. And it doesn't mean that we leave the Iraqis by themselves. The Iraqis are perfectly capable of identifying other international groups if careful for their international assistance.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably at this time they're a little sick of it with what the U.S. has created. So I think I would, in a very calm manner, discuss this with him, and that's all we're really asking is for a discussion with him, to let him listen to some of the ideas of people that are not in his cabinet and not, the yes people.
Mm-hmm.
We can do it in a very, diplomatic way and non-confrontational, but he really does need to listen to the voices of dissent.
Mm-hmm.
And we will not be silent. We will continue to be speaking out, and we will continue our actions. We intend to be, we already have been heard. And
mm-hmm.
if you look at the polls from last summer versus this summer, last summer it was about 50% of the American public saying that the war needed to end, and now it's up to 70%.
Right.
So we are affecting change, and the president really does need to listen to some other people besides those that are sucking up to him.
Right. Well, we can't count on this, of course, but I suspect it's like in Nixon's day when he said he paid no attention to the war protests, and then we found out later in his memoirs that, of course, he did.
Indeed. Yeah, and if you look at Lyndon Johnson,
mm-hmm.
if you go to his presidential library, he's got a quote up there saying, every day when those protesters were out there shouting, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today? He said it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It hurt. And then if you think of George Bush the first during the Gulf War I, you know, there were protests about that, and there was drumming that was going on at Lafayette Square, and George Bush is to have said that, you know, the drumming just drove him crazy. It
mm-hmm.
just drove him crazy. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to not drive anybody crazy,
right.
but make sure that they hear us every single day.
Right. Well, we definitely don't want the policies to get any crazier.
No, that's right.
So what's in store for you and others tomorrow that you know of? I imagine you're not planning to go on and get arrested again, but you never know.
No, I think that's enough unless we see another outrage
mm-hmm.
going on. And, of course, other people are certainly free to come and express their opinions, and I encourage it.
Right.
I think the Senate definitely needs to be hearing from the American public.
Mm-hmm.
And if they won't listen to you on the street, go into the committee hearings and make sure you know what you're going to say, because you don't have much time before they come and whisk you out. But it's one more way to have those 10 senators or 15 senators know that the American public is very disturbed about what's going on.
Right. Well, I was just thinking, you all have given a new definition to fast and furious. You're not just hanging out, a bunch of people hanging out in a circle moping about, oh, I wish I could eat something. You are all over the place in D.C. looking for opportunities to pressure representatives as well as make contact with the public. And I think that's...
Well, that's right. And you know, it turns out if you're not eating, thing. It gives you many more hours during the day to do lots of stuff.
Right.
Well, we make use of every single minute.
Well, I really appreciate your time, and I feel privileged to talk to any and every one of you. It's really a great experience.
Well, thanks. We appreciate your interest in the past, and we encourage everybody in Oregon to think about if they could fast for a day or maybe 2 days. All it is a way for us to remind ourselves of what's happening in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and the need, in my opinion, for us to end our involvement there and bring our troops home fast.
Thank you very much. Have a great, day 9 tomorrow.
Day 9, that's right. Okay,
right.
Take care.
Yeah, bye, Ann.
Thanks, bye-bye.
That was Ann Wright, retired colonel and former U.S. diplomat who resigned March 19, 2003 in protest of the invasion of Iraq. You can learn more about Troops Home Fast at their website, troopshomefast.org. And join in the fast if you wish, or support them in other ways. Go to that website.